Hey, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is Guitar Month here at Sweetwater, and all month long we have exclusives, limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. Check it all out at sweetwater.com or call 800-222-4700.
What's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee. Today we're talking to Cody Bonnet of As Cities Burn. How's it going, Cody?
It's good, man.
Man, great to see you.
Thanks.
We've
for
been friends
me.
For a long, long time, so this is cool that we get to sit down and do this. So, when we were kids and everybody was road dogging it, you were one of these guys that kind of changed my approach to tone, because when everybody else was lugging in, Mesa Boogie full stacks and stuff, here comes Cody with like a basement and a telly, and I hadn't, at that point in my life, I guess my idea of heavy was like totally different. So, seeing, you grow as a guitarist and a writer was super inspiring. Guys like you and Tapi Teranishi kind of like reshaped my idea of what a heavy tone is or could be.
Yeah.
So good on you. What got you into like, going from metal stuff to like, single coil pickup?
Sure. Actually, the first guitar I bought was, this is an American Telecaster that I play mostly, and it has single coils, but the first one I bought was a Mexican Telecaster, just, a little bit lower grade, but same style, same type of pickups. And I always found that when I would try to go to a humbucker, that whenever I would play like some of the more like jazzy type chords or like little picking parts, that it would get a little more lost than I wanted it to,
right.
Like you wouldn't be as clear. So it's like, dang, maybe on the heavy parts, it doesn't sound as big because you got just like a single coil jangly chord, as opposed to when you're playing with the humbucker, you got like a thick grit to it. But we did mostly picking stuff. So like, that kind of worked better for our band. I would rather sacrifice maybe the heavy on the heavy parts,
right,
for the clarity on the parts that needed to be that way. And our bassist would have like fuzz or something, or a rat pedal on the bass. So that kind of like would serve as like a little bit of the thicker texture, So that's how we made it work. But I always just like, personally, the clarity of a single coil. And
oh, man.
That's kind of what's going on here.
You can't top it. I mean, at the time that, Son, I Loved You came out, there weren't bands really, having a real articulate tone when it came to like single string stuff and stuff. It was just kind of like Marshall's loud,
Yeah. Man, I didn't really know. I didn't know how to put it that way in words, and I certainly didn't put it that way. But I actually tried to record that record with this guitar, and the studio that Goldman had some bad, Matt Goldman, our producer, had a bad like ground or power system,
mm-hmm,
so it would make the single coils buzz pretty badly.
Yeah.
So the guitar we actually used on that record was a Les Paul Special with P100s, which are like humbucking or noiseless
something.
Yeah, right. And so it mimics a single coil sound, even though it's not. I think we may have gotten away with a couple parts on that or something if it was worked. But our other guitar player that did a lot of the rhythm stuff, I think he had a Fernandez, Fernandez something or other that we used a bit for some of the more gritty parts. And then Goldman has like a couple cool SGs and Les Pauls and Guilds that like could, we pretty much just used all that he had, But since then we've made our own little collections.
Yeah. So are you still working with Goldman?
We did on this last record.
Sounds phenomenal. Good job, Matt.
Thank you.
Good job.
Matt did an incredible job. Our new record's called Scream Through the Walls. It just came out on Equal Vision in June.
Yeah, extra special thanks to everybody at Equal Vision for setting this up. This rules.
Yeah. Blast working with him again. We've made three of our four records with him, and I'm of the mindset that like the more you, or the less you have to talk about and the more you just do, like the more fluid the machine works, you know, right. Like you're, I like what he does. He might like what we do. And it's like not much like, hey, why don't you change this part drastically or change what you do well drastically. It's like, I love the way he makes records. So,
yeah, I'm a fan of his work for sure. Are you doing a ton of pre-production? Like, are you mapping the songs out and then taking them to him in a demo form?
Yeah, we would do some form of that, bringing it in, and then we spend about a week once we start recording, just playing live together, and then record a very rough, just go get through the song, and then there's some cutting up and moving stuff around and maybe some finding the chorus and developing the chorus or right. whatever, you know, refining the song a little more. And then we get into drums, bass, guitar, vocals, kind sure. of in that order. You know, it's kind of a lot of flip-flopping. But.
So I guess that approach is probably a lot more common than it used to be. So, like, as... I think this is an important question because, like, as a primary writer for a band, do you guys all live here now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because, you guys are from Louisiana, but, you know...
Right.
So, are you writing these songs, getting together with the guys, showing them how to play the songs, and then getting it tight... Or are you, like, mailing them, you know, stems, or how is that working?
This time, this album was probably the most collaborative album. We all have other jobs and stuff. You know, the band is sort of, like, it's not on the back burner or anything like that, but for a year or two, year and a half or 2 years, we would meet once a week and play for about 2 hours. In the right. middle of the week, you know, a Wednesday, you know, from 2 to 4 or something like that, and try to work on one song, and then the next week we'd have been working on a little bit on our own and come back and bring it to the table, and it's slowly chipping away at this thing. But on our previous albums, like, I guess I would just not have a job during those times because we were young enough to live with our parents, and I would just sit in my room, play guitar all day, and have this little 4-track and just unload on it. And so I could have like a fleshed out part with bass, guitars, and sometimes drums on it, and bring that to the band. Now it was kind of like, I just have this
Here's
intro
this
riff.
Yeah, let's work like, on it.
And we'll see. And I liked that better because it let everybody else have more of a voice in it, which I never really wanted to be in my own band. I like to be in a band with right. that dude doing his thing that way and really letting the other guys shine, you know. And our new guitar player Hunter really, really brought in some excellent parts and is kind of the guy that this is our first record with him, and like we didn't have to micromanage him or anything. He just like would come in and like, I love what you're doing, I'm not even looking at yeah. your hands, I can hear it.
He's a great player, man.
Yeah.
And he's really fun to watch.
Yeah,
he's got great stage.
Very accurate, yeah. Very, very good player, yeah. And Stephen Keach, he was in the band Haste the Day, and he played bass, which he's not typically a bass player, you know, but he brought some great bass tracks to the album, I believe.
The rules. Is he a touring member now?
No, he had a kid and he has a good job here in Nashville, so he wasn't able to tour with us at all. But we have this guy Joel Parks, who's a local Nashville dude, and he's really he kills it, man. Like, we just did Audio Feed or Audio Tree. I'm sorry, and he. Like, I never have him in my monitor when I'm playing live because with his vocals, because I don't really want to throw off my own vocals, you know?
Right, right.
So, like, I never heard what he was doing until, like, we watched that Audio Tree performance again, and he just sounded so good. Like, yes. Wow, you're doing this every night? That's excellent, man. So, it's just couldn't be happier with a touring bass player.
Yeah. Rules,
happier
man.
Him,
yeah. You know, when you're working with... Going from making this record, how much of this is on that record? Like, are you recording with this stuff or just stuff that Matt has? Or,
okay, that's a good question.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so the first song that I just played that is called Contact off
Come Now Sleep.
Come Now Sleep, the first song. Yeah. song. That was made on what this amp used to be. And this amp used to be like reissue Fender DeVille, 412, Blues DeVille. And they're not very roadworthy. This thing bounces around in the trailer enough time and it just rattles loose. And eventually, after 5 years, it's not going to work anymore. So it sounded great. It really did. I had this guy from this company called Black Tape Amplifiers. He basically make sure your speakers are good in the cab and that the cab is sound, you know. Uh-huh. And then he'll take out what's inside, and like there's only four knobs on it now.
Right.
And it's a point-to-point hand-wired amp after a 60s Fender circuit. And that amp, it's similar to that Blackface Bassman, which I've always loved. But on this last record, it decided it didn't want to work anymore. So we used another Blackface Bassman that belonged to Matt Goldman. So yeah, similar, but you know, they're always a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. What was wrong with it? You had to have it repaired?
Yeah, dude, all, you know, the... just wasn't right. Yeah, it was just like dark and like noisy and not loud, and just it needed caps, and I don't even know what's in there. But like,
did the Black Tape amps do it?
No, another, I don't know his name, Hunter had the guy do it, but another guy from around here. And when we got it back, it was quiet and it sounds killer now. Yeah. So
I've always seen you with this amp, and it's always sounded really, really
good.
Yeah,
yeah, it just decided it wanted to have some things replaced on it recently, and that's okay, you know? It's like maintenance, like a car, I guess.
Now, are you blending these two amps together?
I do,
You're running stereo, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I was told that it's technically dual amp. I don't even know what stereo is, but dual amp is what it... So we go... after the tuner, we hit the POG, which is octave, and then we hit both of our drives, which I'm running a Warhorn by Walrus Audio, and that's always on, and it's kind of just pushes it just a little bit louder, like maybe a...
Can we hear just that?
Booster. Yeah, sure.
So it's
sure.
More like a clean boost than a drive?
Yeah, 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 so... and I even, you know, a lot of times with like...
Yeah, it just gives it some boost.
Yeah, it pushes it over, and there's a cool like compression switch on it that is very subtle, but I think you can tell when you're doing some picking notes. So that stays on all the time. Mm-hmm. And then to push it over the top, I have the 1981 DRV, and it's just a great pedal. It's supposed to be kind of like a rack clone. So and then a noise suppressor to cut all any noise that's coming noise, from these three guys.
Do you feel like the decimator, like I've used those in the past, you know, well, in higher gain applications, but they have a tendency to kind of like...
It sucks the ring out, if you will, you know, but there's like a sweet spot, I guess, like the sustain kind of gets cut off. But of the noise suppressors I've tried, that one is the best that doesn't have an effects loop through it, right?
Right.
Like, I don't even know how that works, but I think you can, there's some way you can run some of them to where it'll detect how you're playing and like, not take from it whenever you're trying to be a little more dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
This one is just pretty basic, like one knob, and it does a great job. So from there, it goes into this ABY switch.
Are you ever turning one of the amps off?
Sometimes, if it's like an intro to a song, I'll just have one of them on, and then whenever everybody comes in, hit both, you know? So, what I like best about splitting is Walrus Audio has this excellent pedal called a Julia.
Awesome.
Yeah, it. So I'll do. So, wait, that one. So that's just the. Hold on. There it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like a gives it a wide sound.
Oh yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Like very, so you could put liquid. the rate pretty slow, and you have. So that would be the Bassman is playing right now. And so, unaffected, and then you do both. And it kind of just like gives it like a little bit wider. And if these are on the opposite sides of the stage, yeah. It like fills up the room in a cool way.
Yeah, I love dual amp setups. I think, you know, it's...
Yeah, I have both of them going to the Space Echo, which I've always really, really loved, just because it's just like, it's got tap. And then this cool, like...
That's cool.
Yeah, just like, I probably... Probably exploit that.
Hi, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is the best month of the year for guitar players because we're celebrating guitars, amps, pedals, and accessories all month long with Guitar Month. We've got exclusives from Marshall, Walrus Audio, Gretsch, and the incredible Fender Custom Shop GT11 Strats and Tellys. Limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing on many brands, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. You definitely don't want to miss Guitar Month at Sweetwater. Follow us on social media, visit sweetwater.com, or call 800-222-4700.
So then the Julia goes to this one, the Black Tape, and then the BitQuest goes to the basement, which the BitQuest has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 settings. And I mainly use it on a reverb setting because it has this cool thing that... has a freeze.
Right. It's built a pad underneath it, that's great.
Yeah.
Does it ever get away from you? Because it's interesting to me how that pedal can almost give you like a synth pad.
Yeah, but why it grabs one good note.
Yeah,
that,
like that's
that
what
really
I was wondering
works
how it does that.
For it, you know? Like the. On like where you have it depends on where you have one of the six knobs it's
right.
Very I also like this ring modulator thing that's really cool so hold on.
What a fun pedal.
It's hard to like tame live, you know, but
right.
In the studio it's gonna be really, really beneficial. So
yeah, I find like ring mods are kind of tricky to use.
Mm-hmm.
But that one that's cool.
Yeah, like it took me a little while to like there's a fuzz setting and a clean setting, so for all eight you know, there's flanger, filter, bit crusher, reverb, notch filter, ring modulator, pitch shifter, and delay. For all of those, there's another version of it that's fuzzy, and then there's control 1, 2, and 3, and it's just like, I haven't exhausted how much that can do, you know? It's incredible. So, after both of these pedals, the Julia and the BitQuest, it goes into the Space Echo, and then out of there into this Electro-Harmonic 720, which is just a looper that I have sometimes little segues, or we've tried to do some looping live.
Between songs, like stuff from your album maybe, like the interlude stuff, those are fun.
It's always nerve-wracking playing a loop live. When you don't get it right.
That's so
I never
scary.
Get it right.
When I see people like, you know, like Imogen Heap and stuff like that, their whole thing is based on looping. It's like, oh boy, what if you get one wrong?
I know.
You're hearing that
I
all
know.
Night.
Like I saw Andrew Bird do it with one of the Green Line 6 old school things.
DL4, like, baby. Tried and true. I still have one. I'm on my like
incredible.
Sixth one because they don't, you know, they don't really hold up. But, you know, those things are great.
Yeah, I know, but you could probably find them a dime a dozen now, right?
Oh, yeah. Love the expression that you have there because it's such a small form factor.
Like, that one's hooked to obviously the BitQuest.
Sure.
Yeah, and It's just a little bit better than having a volume pedal that would take up so much more space. And this one, it has a Classic Audio is the company that made it. And it has a cool little rolly knob that lights up.
Yeah,
you could see it.
The indicator knob is handy, especially if you're on a dark stage.
Yeah.
You kind of know where you're at with it.
The only thing I'm bummed about right now is, like, I know they have AB switches that have lights on them, but this one doesn't. So it's like, I don't really know which amp's on, and I don't know if they're both on. So it's just like, I'll probably just get another one at some point. But this one's really good because it has a phase switch, where you could flip the phase when you're running two amps. I was told, like, that's what you want to do because you could be, like, harming your sound by being out of phase.
Out of phase,
it's actually
sure.
quieter, perceivably quieter. So,
yeah, looks like you got it pretty dialed in.
Yeah,
it's a good board you got going there.
It's good because we usually we're playing with two guitar players, but this last tour, our other guitar player wasn't able to come, and it was like too close to the tour to train somebody to learn.
Does it scare the hell out of you?
14 or 15 songs. It did. It scared me at first, but then our bass player, like, he got like a Pog octave pedal and would put it on like the high setting sometimes, so he could play like higher up on the bass and like here. Like if you take the dry out and you just have the high octave on. So he would do that on the bass, where when he would click it on, if he's playing up here, then it would get into guitar range and he would be able to play some guitar parts.
Oh, that's handy.
With the Pog just shifting this range up an octave.
Sure, sure.
And so he would be able to cover a couple of little signature riffs that like would accent what I'm doing sometimes.
Right. And that's a good workaround.
Live people see it. Then nobody was like, oh, I'm missing the two guitars so much. You know, maybe there are moments where it doesn't sound as full. And but it was cool to be able to have the bass and the drums really locked in together. And then the guitar, one guitar, can kind of like sit and be behind, be before, and like kind of be loose in the pocket and kind of create another space, whereas two guitars and our other guitar player Hunter would play humbucker or single coils as well. So it's like you kind of have two more shrill guitars that are like almost conflicting with each other if they're not really together a lot of times. So what I noticed whenever we're playing one guitar, it would be a little more clear because there wouldn't be two like fighting high pitch things.
And a lot of time the melodies you write are kind of like meandering and like, you know, in and out and on top of each other and stuff. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also our singing is sort of in the frequency of the guitar as well.
Yeah.
So if you have less guitar, there's more room to put the vocals up top, I think.
Sure.
So, we're going to roll this way again for the next tour we have in September, and then beyond that, we don't really know what's on the horizon, you know, maybe writing some more.
Just having TJ, I mean, because you're not only playing pretty intricate parts a lot of times, but you know, you're singing as well, which is hard. That's tricky. Is having TJ back in the band like alleviate
that? Oh yeah, that's a lot why I love like having a front man, having TJ specifically, is he can like sort of like entertain and like move around and stuff. I find if like I'm playing by myself and having to hit pedals and everything, it's just like I'm at the mic stand pretty much, you know, for most of the time, and it's just standing
there. You can't
there
move and, around and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe that's fine how it is, but like I think there's so much energy in the music, you kind of need somebody to a hype man.
Yeah, hype man. Yeah, yeah. You know? TJ's perfect for that. You know,
yeah,
he's tall and handsome.
Yeah,
and just like,
and he, I love his vocals. I love his vocals. So I really liked. I mean, that first version of our band, if you don't know the history of our band, we started with as a five-piece, and we had a screamer who would do maybe most of the vocals, and then I would do a lot of the guitar parts and do some of the singing parts. And then he quit, and so then for the second and third album, I was doing all of the singing and guitar playing. So now on our fourth record, he's come back, and now he's back kind of as a front man, and it's really
it's
nice
a lot of
to kind of embrace,
shoulders.
Yeah, embrace maybe all of the sounds of the band, and we have like a lot of freedom to, I just like kind of leaning back and playing guitar a lot of times, you know, but also like the vocals that I I do to contribute to the band are like have now become pretty signature for the way
for
the sound.
For sure, so yeah. Like, yeah, when I think of Acides Burn, I definitely think of your singing. Well, I don't know. It's an interesting juxtaposition between his screaming and your singing, and mm-hmm. it just happens. I don't know if it's because you're brothers or something, but it just happens to like work really, really well together, you know? Yeah. Well, that's killer, man. I guess before I let you go and get out of your hair, we kind of did this one backwards. We didn't really talk guitars a ton. So how many guitars are you taking on the road?
Sure. I take three. This one I do for...
old butterscotch there?
The old butterscotch. I never called it old butterscotch, but I think I'll start now. I like it.
So give me the details on this bed.
This is a 1983, a birth year guitar for me.
Oh,
so
killer.
It's 36 years old, just like me.
And me.
And you. All right,
we're
yeah.
old, dude.
We are, until we get older. But yeah, it's just a American Strat. The different thing about it is that there's usually another tone knob here, I think, and there's an angular jack right here.
Right.
But for some reason, this just has tone, volume, and then a plug in there, which I like.
I actually prefer that.
It's kind of cool.
Was that modded when you bought it?
It was like that. Hmm. It was just for the short run, maybe. I don't know. I need to look into what other guitars. But like this
surely
one,
these saddles aren't stock either.
Like no, they're definitely definitely been replaced. But, you know, it's just same five-position switch that... Man, a lot of cool sounds out of this.
Right, it's a very versatile thing. Yeah,
I play this one for more whenever our singer, leaves stage and we play some songs with me singing. This is the one I play because it kind of gets more delicate sounding, you know?
Yeah, it's very dynamic, yeah.
Yeah.
What position are you typically in for, like...
I pretty much
the
live
slinky,
in the,
like, fendery thing.
Kind of the middle.
Yeah.
I like the middle or the second, which is just those
the two.
The bridge kind of gets a little, brittle.
Harsh.
Harsh.
Yeah. Yeah,
shrill even.
Almost like a, I don't know, like a, I interviewed Tepe Teranishi, and were also having this conversation about the single coil, but in a heavy band kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's playing, you know, baritones are like, you know, I think bass sixes.
Yeah.
And the sound that it gets because it's a baritone, like that low frequency through that really kind of...
jangly.
Yeah. You know, those pickups I don't think were ever designed to really be...
Maybe it can't support that much bottom end. Really.
Right, right. So it kind of, like, it doesn't fart out. It's this tone that's so uniquely thrice. You know what I mean? Like, it does this thing that's great, but...
That's what it
is. I love hearing, I think it's interesting for this, you know, the single coil thing, but this is the number one, right?
This is the number one. If I lost every other guitar, I'd be okay. If I lost this one, I'd be sad for several days, I'm sure, but... these are all... Whenever I was a kid, I played like football, like peewee football, and we got a helmet, and it'd be a brand new helmet. And you'd be like, I don't want to be this kid with a fresh helmet. So you'd take your cleat and hit the helmet, but and it'd be like, you're a poser for doing that kind of thing. But this, like all these beat up, like they happened. This is real. I didn't do any of this, you know? Like,
how about this big bad boy?
That happened on this last tour.
Did
it
really?
I saw this crack in it. It was just like a stress crack or something. And it was like, man, I could kind of like push down on it. I knew there was air under there. So then I just like picked
it peeled
up.
On off.
And it
huh?
just popped right off. Yeah. So I don't know. At first I was like, that's too much. I'm very sad. But anyway, this is like American Telecaster from 2004. I changed this pickup. It's a Seymour Duncan 5-2. Which rolls off the EQ. What I noticed when I had the original pickup in there is that the low kind of seemed a little too low and the high seemed a little too shrill. So it's like an EQ roll off, like I don't know, mid boost maybe. But it's good. Also bridge, mostly playing for any kind of rhythm. If I'm gonna do some kind of lead or whatever, I like going to the neck pickup because it just like has this spaceship type sound.
I love that,
you know?
Thing, yeah. It's so slinky and like...
Yeah, I gotta play like... this is maybe a riff off our first record that should have had this tune before. But it's real.
Speaking of, what do you guys typically tune to?
The first record we did a lot in drop D, but then somewhere along the way we started playing in a half step down, like E-flat standard.
Mm-hmm.
So then our drop D songs started to be C-sharp. So instead of having to go all the way
just
up,
just one string.
And it made it easier to sing and stuff. So, That's that neck pickup.
Yeah, just it's like so dreamy.
Spacey.
It's
got, yeah,
like, it's buttery.
And these are dead strings too. Like it sounds great. I love that guitar. Okay, so then this is my newest guitar, which some people think that a PV's lame, and I don't think they're right. It's a 1979 PVT60. I think someone refinished it. Just natural, like wood color here. But the cool thing about this guitar is, the tone, if you have the tone rolled down a touch, it turns the pickup into a single, into a humbucker. So tune all the way up is, this is that weird tuning that I did, so. And then it turned it. It's pretty subtle. It's pretty subtle.
Yeah, but I hear it. That's different. That's so weird.
Yeah, and then this back switch, like if you have this pickup, is a phase. It puts this one out of phase. So if you're playing with both of them, I think that's correct. And then that's out of phase.
It gives you like that Strat fourth position, cracky.
Yeah, it's just like thing, that. Spaceship sound. I don't know.
Knopfler tone, bro.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm guessing these are whatever stock pickups came in at.
Yeah. I think it's original, other than I think maybe someone changed out the pots and refinished it. But it's been a good guitar. It's a little heavy, and it's kind of cool to have.
Yeah, it's a chunk of wood, all
right. I don't really have a guitar with humbuckers right now, so this is cool that it's an option for me.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm recording or something. And it's cool.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Dig it a lot. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those, but not a ton. I love that you're playing that.
I got it for cheap. I got it for cheap too. So like buying a 1979 guitar for $400-something, like that's pretty good. You're not going to really be able to do that.
And the wood is old and it resonates well. Yeah.
Good condition.
Well, Cody, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure,
really,
man. Thank you.
Have fun on the next leg of the tour.
Sure.
Scream Through the Walls is out now. You can listen to it through Spotify, all the streaming services, or go to Equal Vision Records and buy that sucker because it's great. Stay tuned for more rig rundowns, riff rundowns. Check out our YouTube. Go subscribe to that sucker because it's awesome. See you guys soon.